start our service then, and then we'll... Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for life and health and strength. And pray for those that aren't well and aren't here. And I pray your good hand would be upon them. And wherever in the world your children are gathering together, Lord, to worship and praise you, and to hear the preaching of your word, I pray you'd be able to be with them, be with us, Lord, and be one of our number, and teach us and strengthen us and help us. Thank you for loving us, Lord, for the continual giving to us. And Lord, we pray that you would forgive us where we've led you down. And Lord, don't be done with us. And please use this evening to make us and to improve us. Bless our time in your presence. I pray that you would find everything done decently and in order from all the churches of the saints. And we pray most importantly for your will to be done. Amen. Amen. We're going to do a wee black book special this evening, and we're going to begin with number 5, the Lord's my shepherd. Number 5, the wee black book. Up yourself. Genesis chapter 1. I once heard a preacher say that if you don't get Genesis right, the rest of it doesn't matter. You might not get it right at the start, and you might not even know about it whenever you get saved, but you should get it right because it is a foundation on every other belief and teaching in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, first chapter in the Bible, all about the creation. And this is what the Word of God says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness called he night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth," and it was so. And God made two great lights, greater light to rule the day, and the lesser night light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after his kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, And to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Amen. That is our Bible. If that makes it announcements time. I didn't have any, except to say, please pray for Norman. He's come down with probably a bit maybe of what Will had, or he's picked up a cold or a head cold or something somewhere, and it's knocking for a bit of a loop. Please do continue to pray for Steve. He's coming along slowly but surely. Don't forget as well, if you would, Norman's sister Edith that had heart surgery there just a few weeks ago. Please do pray for Steve's friend Michael up in Albegeldon. Don't forget Will, I think he's travelling up and down to Belfast all week. Colin over in Ukraine, and Frank over in London. There's a lot going on. Don't forget to pray for each other, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and pray for our leaders. In fact, was it Samuel that said, God forbid that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you. Don't forget, if you're ever thinking you have to pray about something and you can't think of anything, think on me. I could certainly probably do with your prayers at any given time. Other than that, I think that is about us. Many of you, is there anything that you would like to, have you any special prayer requests or anything? No, that's good. Mrs. Bradfield?
Just mom, I'm having a few better days.
Good. Keep praying for Monica's mom. Amen. All right, we'll sing another song. Number 27. Thank you.
Well, two German books for now, and we'll take our Bibles.
And we will take and turn to Book of Deuteronomy this evening. Book of Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Yep, the fifth book in the Pentateuch. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and I want to speak for a little bit, for a few minutes this evening, on the subject of by faith. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Probably know there's two places in the Old Testament where you can pick up the commandments, and Deuteronomy chapter 5 is one of them. I think it's Leviticus 18 or Leviticus 20 is the other. But we're going to be looking at these 21 odd verses. And then I would like to bring you a few thoughts on the subject of by faith. Deuteronomy chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. The word of God says, "And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for ye were afraid by reason of the fire, and went not up into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, but thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honour thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbour, and neither shalt thou desire thy neighbour's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbour's field, his house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbour's. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, out of the cloud and out of the thick darkness with a great voice. And he added no more, and he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me." And that is our Bible reading. I want to look at the Ten Commandments and think for a little bit this evening on the subject of by faith. Now we'll have a wee word of prayer. If you'd like to bow your heads and close your eyes. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day. Thank you, Lord, that we can still meet together, and I pray you just keep the bad weather off of us long enough, Father, to have this time in your presence. And Lord, that you would see us safely home in the services, God. Please be with those that's just not well at this particular time, Father. Help them to get back in form again. And Lord, just look out for Colin over in the meantime. Pray for the Cooley and the Colin family, Lord, for all those that have been gone, and for all our brothers and sisters, wherever they might be, for Mark and Jake as they travel in Germany. A lot of other things going on, Father. I pray for our private prayer requests. I pray for our homes. I pray, Lord, for our leaders, for our cousins, if you like, Lord, the Jewish people. And I pray, Father, that you continually confound those that hate you. I love you and thank you. Leave these things at your feet. Pray that you would grant them according to your will. Thank you for loving us, Father. Amen. Amen. Before we... it's just a start. I want to start by just having a quick look at the very first line that we read this evening in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, I want for you to understand as we look at this that nine of these commandments were telling us what not to do. Like, not to make any idols, not to worship them or bow down ourselves, and make sure we get out to church. Sorry, eight of them are telling us what not to do. Two of them tell us, one is to get out to church, and the other one is to honor our father and the mother. And the only one that has a promise there is a long life, honoring your father and your mother. But the first handful of commandments, the first four commandments, they're all about how our relationship with God should be. These Ten Commandments are called the moral law. There are a lot of other rules and regulations, a lot of other commandments, I think there's about another 600, give or take, that deal with everything from day-to-day life to dealing with plagues and having children. It really is that varied and that wide-ranging. But it begins with how you deal with God. And after that, it's how you deal with other people. And not one of them is actually for you or me. Not one of them benefits us, you would think, as you look at them. Before we even have a quick look at them, the very first line that we read, the last few words say, Moses is reading them out, and he says that you should learn them and keep them and do them. That's what Moses said. Learn them, keep them, and do them. It doesn't say understand them, and it doesn't say ask questions about them. It just says learn them, keep them, and do them. And I would like to, as we go on here, have a look at the reasons why we should do what God says and do them by faith, even when we don't understand why we should do them. And set a good example, and then whenever we see the results of following God's commandments in our lives and understand how good they are for us, that would encourage us to carry out even more of his commands more readily. First one or two, and this really forms a foundation upon for our whole Christian life. The first one is, you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, you are not to put anything in front of God. Now, that doesn't mean on a Sunday morning, if you were coming to church and you got hit in your car and you were bleeding out from a cut artery, that you must go to church. That is not what that means. It means that God should be at the foundation of your life, and your life should be directed according to what God says. Then everything else will find its place. And it says, I hope you notice, small g for the gods in verse number 7. Because anything else other than God is a small god. It can be moved, it can be stolen, it can be worn down, it can be destroyed. Everything else is a small god. But the God that we worship is a great God. And we should be worshipping him. I got to thinking about having other idols and things. Because whenever you put an idol of something down, you tend to look at it, you tend to pray to it, you tend to think about the idol. And God, that would be a little bit like me having a picture of Monica on my phone. And me talking to the picture of Monica on my phone when she's right there. When I should be talking to Monica. That just doesn't make sense. And that's, God is everywhere, sees everything, knows everything, and can do anything. Why would we not talk directly to him? I think the real reason is that anything that we can make or anything that we can put our hands upon, we think that we can control. You think on the number of statues and things that there are in our modern day religions, especially the Roman Catholic faith, and the way they carry a statue of Mary about from house to house at certain times in the year, and they put her out when they're being religious and they take her away when they're not being religious. What sort of God is that? You decide whenever you're going to be faithful in what it is that you believe, instead of always being faithful and what it is that you believe. The Bible says whenever you bow down to these things, you introduce weakness into your life. Whether it's an idol, whether it's a person, an occupation, a job, a hobby, a lifestyle choice, whenever you make these things your God, everything in your life is at the mercy of that choice. And if that thing that you put your life at the mercy of is not God Almighty, I guarantee you it will rob you blind and leave you twisting in the wind. There is only one God that loves you more than anybody or anything else in this world, and that is the God that created the world, the Christ that gave his life for us. We should not be bound down to idols. And more than that, we should make sure we get to church. And this is reiterated in the New Testament where it says we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Is that in Hebrews? And the more so as you see the day approaching. We are supposed to get to church. We need to make a point of serving God. Because I tell you what, if you can... God never set the example of telecommuting. He never worked from home like so many people do in this day and age. He didn't send a pint of blood or a gallon of blood to be thrown at a cross and to be spilled on the ground. He came down and shed his own blood. And we should be prepared, within reason of course, to turn up at church. I know there are people that can't get here, and I know there are circumstances that keep you from it. But generally speaking, we should get to church. And those handful of commandments, they're first for a reason, because they should be first. We should consider God in all things. After that, it is how we treat all those that are around and about us. It does talk about taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain, but if you've got God in the right place, we shouldn't be taking his name in vain. God wants to save us. God wants to talk to us, but don't take his name in vain. It doesn't do anybody any good, and it cheapens it in the sight of yourself and in the ears of the people around about you. But the rest of the commandments, look well to your mum and dad. Don't be killing people. Don't be committing adultery. No sexual sin. Don't be stealing stuff. Don't be telling lies. Don't be envious of what other people have. That's how you treat the rest of the people around about you. Those people that are closest to you until such a time as you're married. And then those people that are closest to you again, your wife or your husband. Don't be cheating on them. Don't be robbing them of your affections, of your strength. of your support and of your comfort, of your integrity. And to the people around and about you, you treat them right. And if you get all of those things right, just about everything else in this world will fall into place. However, a lot of people can't see that. That if we were to do all of those things, and remember, there's not one thing here that's here for our benefit, there are things that are there for us to do. The Bible says, first of all, your life will be longer. You will have more people about you. You will have better relationship with your spouse and your family. You'll be able to trust people, because if you're not stealing and nobody else is stealing, everyone will have their own stuff. And you'll be able to fellowship with your neighbours, with those that are around and about you. And you'll be happy for people when they have stuff. Amen. If you have money and you want nice stuff, that's all well and good. Spend it properly, spend it right, and spend it in good things. If we do all of those things, life will actually be better, not just for us, but for those around and about us. Even though each one of them can take work, and even though, goodness, the last ones that are to do with us, and people don't think twice about breaking them all. And they don't understand they're hurting themselves in the long run. If we take care of those, we are actually taking care of ourselves. We involve ourselves in something that's greater and bigger and more powerful than us, and it's better for us. In fact, again, another sentiment that is repeated in Romans chapter 8, that things always work out for the best whenever we do things God's way, is that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But because the times that we live in, people are very short-sighted and are very set on an instant fix. And because Lynn's here this evening, I'm going to use the things that that Dr. Shine told me whenever it came to when I hurt my shoulder. I'm still getting good mileage out of that, Lynn, and I appreciate that very much. Make sure Dr. Shine knows that his name gets a mention in church. Whenever I injured my shoulder, I think I asked Dr. Shang about painkillers and this, that, and the other, and he explained to me that all that they do is remove the swelling for a little bit, and it feels easier while you take the painkillers, but whenever the painkillers wear off, you're just right back where you started again. You need to fix it properly, and it takes time, and it did. It took about a month. And then I have been using the exercises every good, and I can still move. But people don't see that. That the same token, I knew another woman that had the same injury that wouldn't go and get it sorted out, but keeps taking the painkiller. I need an instant fix. And that's all that she ever got. Because we want a quick thrill, or we want sensation or enrichment in some form or fashion, we steal and we lie and we cheat and we do all of those things to hold on to the things that we have stolen. We ruin other people's integrity just for a few electrons firing in our brain. The very reason for the commandments, and indeed all of God's commandments, the reason for his law, is the same reason that mummies and daddies put plug covers on plugs. They put corner bumpers on sharp edges. They put knives away in drawers or in knife blocks well out of the way. Or in the cases of factories and things with fast moving equipment, or indeed those big robotic arms, they put cages around them. They put warning stripes around them. They put flashing lights on them. And in some cases, in the case of little children, they put warm bottoms on little children to warn us about fast-moving, sharp, hot, or sharp shock hazards or dangers to our lives to keep us safe.
It's not because mummy and daddy want to stop the child's fun. I persevered and I have a multitude of scars in my hand, using my mum's kitchen devil, which was a serrated blade, to cut plastic kits off their screws and build them. The number of times I cut my fingers. It took me a long time to learn, but now I know and can't keep knives from me. So all of these commandments, they make up his law, singular. And breaking these commandments has consequences, just like I ended up with bloody hands and a couple of electrical burns. As the Bible says, can a man take coals into his bosom and not be burned? There are consequences. And God doesn't want us to have consequences. He said, here's the wheels to run upon. When you depart from them, it's not going to end well for you, so stick with them. But yet and all, we depart from them. And many folks don't realize that it doesn't just affect you. It doesn't just affect the person that's doing it. It doesn't just affect me. It affects everybody around and about you. The Bible says that no man lives to himself or dies to himself. And if you introduce sin and the practice of it and the glorification of it into your life, it is introduced into the lives of people around and about you, and you are encouraging people to disobey God. And he doesn't want that. And people certainly shouldn't want to find themselves at odds with God. Even if we just took one or two of the commandments, thou shalt not kill. Now that doesn't mean you're not allowed to go to war as a soldier. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to behave as an executioner. It doesn't take into account that some people's jobs may require them to take a life from time to time in the jobs of policemen around and about the world. It means thou shalt not kill for your own personal gain. That's what it means. You just don't go around killing people. Somebody might say, well, why not? Because I could name a few that need killing. Well, the simple answer to that is that someday, if you're revolving in that sort of company, certainly there's going to come a time when you're going to do something that somebody else thinks is worthy of killing, and sooner or later it's going to happen to you. And the place would just descend into a bloody, literally, chaos. With people with eyes gouged out, with throats cut, with heads cut off, with hearts cut out. And what sort of place is that? The same goes for theft and adultery and other people wanting the stuff that you have. It doesn't work that way. If you continually want what other people have, you will never be happy. Theft, adultery, and covetousness are all exactly the same thing. Theft is the taking of an object. Adultery is the taking of somebody else's honor. Coveting is taking something in your heart. No self-control. No idea of working for what you have. No good work ethic. And what is that going to lead to? Again, to chaos. To people just taking things that they set their eyes upon and thinking it's right. Because sooner or later, all of those things are going to happen to you. And all of the things that men and women gather to themselves, sooner or later, they leave for someone that never worked for them. And they will dispose of them. Maybe squander them or throw them away. I don't know, but the Bible says these things for a reason. If you value your life and the lives of your loved ones, here's a set of rules that will keep everybody on track and everybody working well together. What about our leisure time? The other gods that we allow in. God says, you know, you can have leisure time. You have 6 days to work and do whatever else it is that you want to do. But you see, on the Lord's Day, get out to church. But a lot of people think, well, Sunday, I like to have a lie-in, or I like to meet with friends, or that's when I catch up on my TV, or that's when I have a break.
anything, literally anything, rather than turn up at church or open a Bible or get down on their hands and knees, because then that would admit, that would mean having to admit that they're wrong. And a lot of folks don't realize or don't actually join the two bits of reasoning together, that for all the people that spend so much time and effort avoiding God in this world, God is going to give that soul exactly what they want in eternity, and eternity without Him. If you can't stick the little bit of God that you see in this world, you are not going to be able to stick the whole of God that you can see in eternity. Moses was just talking about him being up on the mountain and getting the commandments from God. And whenever the people saw him, they couldn't stick the little bit of reflected glory. That just scared the wits out of them. And if you can't stick church for a couple of hours on a Sunday, if you can't stick the presence of God in prayer, I am afraid you're in dire straits. Your soul is in danger of hell and the lake of fire and the end of the ages of eternity. And I would heartily urge you to make your peace with God. You already mentioned the idols a little bit, but people tend to make them that they're smaller and easily manipulated, and the idol can be made to bless or go along with just about whatever you want. In fact, I think most of these commandments would be summed up by the words of Anton LaVey and the words of his father, the devil. The devil said, "I will be like the Most High. I'll make the rules and I'll run the show." And Anton LaVey said, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." Those things are completely anti-Christian, anti-Bible teaching, and lead to complete and utter anarchy. People make idols, I think. Or here's one point of view. Believe that people make idols so that they can make those idols do whatever they want to do. It's not a God that they worship, it's a God that they can manipulate. And that quite literally leaves the door open for that person to do anything. And you think, I'll draw your attention to the Roe v. Wade being overturned in the States, which meant that abortion, the murder of unborn children, is now decided at a state instead of a federal level. And there were churches that were upset and having to have days of prayer. They were so upset that the government made it more difficult for people to kill their unborn children. That's what it leads to when churches worship the very things that God hates. And God hates it whenever our children are made to pass through the fire. In fact, the Word of God says there's quite literally no plumbing the depths of wickedness that we have in our hearts. In Jeremiah 17, it says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The Bible also mentions adultery here, sexual sin. That seems to be a plague upon us in these last, 50 or 60 years, ever since the contraceptive pill was introduced and women, in quotes, were freed from being pregnant and raising families. And of course, young women everywhere have literally gone to the dogs. Seemed like good fun, no harm, no consequences. But what people don't see is the actual mental cost of many casual physical relationships. It hurts a person. It numbs that part of the mind that would bond to a person for the rest of their life. So much so that they do not have that ability to take on a husband, or they do not have that ability to take on a wife and to love them and to cherish and to forsake all others from them. They have quite literally formed a callus on their soul. Maybe they've even become murderers. Maybe they have tangled a lot of people up in their lust and then their murder, and then the damage that they have caused to themselves. The Bible says that the marriage bed is holy and undefiled, but every other form of physical, how would you put it, relationship is forbidden in the Bible. It's a perversion of God's plan. It produces nothing but confusion, mental illnesses, and some diseases that you can't actually cure with an injection. The Bible mentions that. And all that people can see is the buzz and the excitement and the thrill. But they never think beyond that to the consequences of their actions. Drinking and drugs is much the same. Even the government says stay away from them, but we know that they're double-tongued hypocrites because they're the ones that's getting the most money from them on their taxes, their duties. And all that many people can see is a good time. I was so relaxed. I had such a wonderful time. Unfortunately, they can't see down their throat but that gets burned with the alcohol, or their stomach that gets burned by the alcohol, or their liver or kidneys that do their absolute best to filter the alcohol out, harming themselves, or the damage it does to the brain. The whole body goes into shock whenever it gets a feed of alcohol, and it might recover one time, it might recover 100 times, it might even recover 1,000 times. But every time you put a drink of alcohol in your mouth, you are hurting yourself, you're making a mockery of God, you're thumbing your nose at Him, and you're taking your life in your hands. And many have found down the line, have found themselves trapped with no way out, because instead of them taking a drink, the drink has taken a hold of them instead. If only we had listened. Someday you'll see a stranger. The Bible says treat people right, because some people have even entertained angels unawares. The whole way through the Bible, the Lord said, treat visitors right, because you were strangers in a strange land one day. The reason I mention all of these things and go into them in a little bit more detail is because those are the simple things, the straightforward things that God has mentioned in His Word, and He says for us to obey them. And some of them young people can't see, and some of them even old people can't see, but God says, remember what we said? Listen, learn, keep, and do. He says, I speak them in your ears so you can listen to them, learn them, just stick with them, keep them, and do them. Nowhere does it say understand them. It just says to do them. And I know that sounds very do it my way or the highway, which is literally what Jesus said. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But God asks us to keep His commandments by faith. Simply because He asks us to keep them. By faith. I want to give you a few things here. Before you consider doing what God asks you to do, I want you to bear these few things in mind. God loves us. He loves each individual one of us. God gave His life for us. More than that, God took His life back for us and raised Himself from the dead and showed Himself alive. God went back up to heaven for us, and even now He is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, fighting our corner. God keeps an ear open for you at every moment of every day, even lost souls He is listening to, waiting for them to repent of their sins and trust Him as Savior. God made Himself a friend that sticketh closer than a brother for us. The Holy Spirit is given to every saved soul. God has preserved this book for us in the face of millions upon millions of religious detractors.
God sends angels to help each one of us that are saved. God will even give us the words to speak when we're in a jam. And God wants to spend the endless ages of eternity with us, and even wants to spend every day with us right now. As Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees, if ye being evil want to give good things to your children, how much more do you think your Father in heaven wants to give good gifts to his children? And in the book of James, James said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Why wouldn't you do what he asks you to do? He said in the New Testament, he said, my commandments are not grievous. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Especially when I give you the power to do it all. And all that God asks us to do, having done all of this for us already, is to obey him by faith. Just do what he asks us to do. That's it. He doesn't say, here's a list of things I want you to do for the rest of your life. He says, do this. And he says, do it even if you don't understand it, knowing that everything will work out for the best. Do it because I asked you to. And then when you look back and understand, you can thank me for getting you to do something for me. And you will understand. Just do it by faith. That's all that he asks. You might not see the reason today or tomorrow. It might be years down the line. But it will work out for the best if you live by faith. I think it says at the end of Romans 17. This is what Romans 16 and 17 say and then and done. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We don't have to know everything. We couldn't know everything. All we have to know is there is a loving, forgiving God that wants to do stuff with us. And it will be a thrill ride whenever you do. God bless you. Stopping there. Thank you for your good time and attention. I appreciate that. We have a song to sing and then we are done. It was God be with you till we meet again. Number 19 in the black. Let's stand as we sing. Thank you. now. I'm trying that so much, I forgot one of the verses. Hey. God bless you. Safe home. Back at the next appointment time. Let's close our eyes and we'll be dismissed with a wee word. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for taking this time with us. Please continue to watch over us. Don't be done with us. Please keep working in our lives and the lives of those that we know, and even complete and other strangers, Lord. Please use us, Lord, and help our lives to be worth something. Thank you for loving us. Please be with those who couldn't be here. Thank you especially Norman, Pat, Steve, Will, Colin, Frank, and we got Norman as well. But Lord, please look after these folks. Please broaden the borders of Bethel. Please, I pray, Lord, put your hand upon our neighbours in Mavoy Road and the folks that have heard the gospel and the folks that got gospel tracts and Bibles. Just love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.